Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
By the grace of God, we started with a topic last week on how to catch the anointing. And today we want to continue in how to catch the anointing. So today is the part two. Hallelujah. And as the custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures. Our first reading is the book of 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 1 to 9. 2 Kings chapter 2 the verse 1 to 9. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? From over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me unto Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets were at Jericho, came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" So he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. Verse 7. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Our last verse. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I may do for you before I am taken away from you." Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." Hallelujah. Second reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 4 to 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 4 to 6. There are diversities of the gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Our last reading that we are all going to read together, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 to 13. We are all reading together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 to 13. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you. Are you reading with me? And are over you in the Lord and admonishing you. Verse 13, key place. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Hallelujah. So as I said, today we are closing, or we are wrapping up with the series, sub-series, Catch the Anointing. So today is our last message on Catch the Anointing, the sub-series. And today we will be looking at the part two of Catch the Anointing. If you remember last week, I spoke about three major ways by which we can catch the anointing last week. One was what? The principle of what? Identification. The second was the principle of what? Association. And the third one was what? Service. So we look at these three things as a key element of catching the anointing. Now I want to continue today, but I want to also start with this very strong concept that I want you to follow me very well, and which I strongly believe that at every stage of a believer's life, every stage of any believer's life, there should be a business in catching an anointing. There should be a business in catching anointing, because every stage of our Christian life and everything we do comes with its own unique challenges that we have to surmount. Do you agree with me? So I believe that because of a new stage and the new level we find ourselves, we need a new anointing or a different dimensions of operations of the Spirit for us to what? Catch an anointing to deal with diverse kinds of what? Challenges. So I believe that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what Paul was talking about, that the diversity of the Spirit, I can also see and interpret it that there are also diverse kinds of challenges we face. Because if there are diversities of the operations of the Spirit, then it means that there are diversity of challenges, situations, and life cycle that we are going to find ourselves. So as part of our life as Christians, in our daily growth, I believe that at every point of our life, we should be in the what, in the practicing of what? Catching an anointing. Which means entering to another diverse operations of what? The Spirit of God upon our life. Do you agree with me? Do you agree with me? Therefore, this concept diversity, which I see in scriptures, in relation to the operations of the Holy Spirit, reveals how God makes each and everyone's operation in the Spirit receives attention and gain recognition. Because there are diversities of challenges, situations around us, God has also made it possible that as individuals also, in our diverse operation, to divide us, to make us very unique from each other, there are diverse operations among us. So in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 4 to 6, you will see that God made it clear that there are diversities of what? The gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of what? Operation by the same Lord. And there are diversity of our activities by the same Lord who gives all in all, or who makes all to happen in all. And this one, I believe that God made it so that we can recognize the uniqueness of everybody in the body of Christ. Do you agree now? Do you agree with me on that aspect? So there is a uniqueness that each of us will bring forth. So beyond we dealing with diverse kinds of situation, why God created opportunity for all of us to be able to tap into various operations of the Spirit. Now, if you read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you find out that Paul said that he desires that we ought not, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he desires that we can all desire or covet all spiritual gifts. Do you remember that? Because he believes that there are diverse situations we can operate in. But beyond that, another reason is that God also wants to create a unique differentiation or uniqueness in each of us. So there are diverse operations among us, which is the manifestations of the anointing. Are we all on the same page? So now let's move on. So that is why you can find out that because of the operations of the diverse activities of God, when we come to a place, let's say a particular church or a location, we can have numerous prophets operating. Is that not it? But each of the prophets will have different ways of operation because of the principle of diversity. So in the kingdom, there is no competition. Because we are all diverse, or we are all unique in a diverse operation. Now, let me give you an example. Let's take the streams of healing. Do you know that there are some men of God, they conduct healing by laying of hands? In other words, if they do not lay hands on you, there is no way you can receive the healing. The power of God will not work. There are some too that work with song ministrations. A typical example is Pastor Benihin. For Pastor Benihin to conduct healing, or for the flow of the anointing, worship must be backing him. So as worshippers are worshiping with him, songs are being lifted, the anointing is being released. That's a unique stream. So some will lay hands, then people are being healed. He needs some song to what? Go. There are some healers. We have a prophet called Prophet Abraham William. His own is word of knowledge. He can just call you and diagnose you, and then you are gone. So he calls you prophetically, word of knowledge. I see A, B, C. By the time he's done seeing, it is gone. It's a stream of healing. You see the diverse operations of the Holy Spirit. Some combine also. You see that there can be 8, 9, 10 people who are operating the streams of the healing anointing. But you see diverse operations. So diversity is one of the things that makes it so unique and beautiful in the church. And that is also what? Permitted in the kingdom. So therefore, this diversity, though is the same Spirit at work, establish how each of us can be unique in our own way by the expressions of the Holy Spirit at work in us and upon us. So in 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 11, let's read the scripture there. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 11. Why am I saying this? I'm leading it to a point. Now we have to understand that our pursuit of catching the anointing is also connected to the diversities of operations of the Holy Spirit. And I want to explain the concept of diversity to you here. That diversity is as a reason because there are diverse kinds of situations and cycles of life that we will enter into. That will demand diverse manifestations of God's power. Number two, Because God wants each of us to gain recognition and attention, He makes sure that He operates in us in diverse ways, unique to our blueprint, so that every person can be recognized and identified, irrespective of how connected their streams are. And the Bible calls it the ability of each one. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 11, let's read. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God be what? Glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So you see that said, according to the ability supplied, manifestations of the Spirit of God. So the reason why there's diversities in the church or in the Bible or in the operations of God is because of those two reasons. Now, how does this connect to the anointing? Now, if you look at the streams of the anointing, okay, we have streams of operations of the anointing. I've already looked at it. Is that not it? And if you look at the streams of the anointing, as I've already shared concerning the healing anointing, you will find out that for each streams of the anointing, there are what we call tributaries. Unique, different operations of every person in the earth, in the system. Now, the problem is that if we don't accept the principles of diversity, we may look down or may not even understand how the things of God is being done. So in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 1, look at how Paul introduced this whole concept of diversity. Now let's look at it. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Now if you are reading the King James Bible, give me the King James. You see that the gifts was italized, because when the manuscript was given, the gifts was not there. But because of the consistency mention of gifts after this place, it was added to give interpretation. So you see that in the King James, you see what has been done. The moment you are reading the Bible and you see that a word is put into a bracket or it's italized, it means that that word was inserted to give meaning to the whole chapter. So if we want to read this chapter, the actual way to read it is concerning spiritual. Brethren, what? I would not have you what? Ignorant. And one of the ignorance about the spirituality is diversity. If you don't know that there are diverse operations of the Holy Spirit, there are certain aspects of your life you can never enter. Because when you accept diversity, you know that I need to what? Get hold of this to be able to deal with this. You see, change is one of the difficult things in human cycle, true or false? Change. It's one of the difficult things in human cycle. You see, because when you are used to something, it is very difficult to what? To change it. I know people that no matter what you do, they will never use an iPhone. They have nothing to do with Apple product. They are used. They can't do that iOS. They are used to Android. It doesn't matter whether they are the president of Ghana or whatever. No, they can't accept that change. And it is one of the things that can frustrate our Christian work. When we don't understand that there are diversities. And I said, the concept diversities over there stands on two things. Number one, that there are diversities of human cycles of life and challenges we face that demands diverse kinds of what operations of the Holy Spirit to deal with them. Number two, because of the uniqueness that God wants to create among us so that there will not be competition, there is diversity of operations. Now, it's an act of ignorance that can happen in the church. And then when that ignorance is over there, then there's going to be a problem. So Paul wanted to address why some can speak, some can operate in the word of knowledge, others can operate in the word of wisdom, because it's permitted by the act of God that in the spiritual things, there can be what? Diversities. Now, when we have that understanding, it means that we will not be locked up in one way of operation. Now, you know that there are some churches, there is a way that they operate, that if anybody else is doing something beyond that, they are not Christians. If we don't dress this way, you are not born again. If you don't talk this way, you know there are some Christians, unless a man of God talks some way or acts some way, they cannot receive from the man. Because they have not been raised to understand that there are diversities of what? Operation. That's why there are some people, if you don't lay hands on them, they will not believe that they are healed. Once upon a time, I was talking to a doctor friend, and she told me that so most of the old people who come to the hospital, After diagnosing them and telling them they are fine, they don't want to go. So now they have developed a strategy that they ought to inject them with water, because they believe that by injection, they are fine. You can give them drugs, you can do whatever you do, if there's no injection. So we have to cure the mentality of what? Holding to one thing and not knowing that there are diversities. When the devil knows, and ignorance is a very deadly thing, that's what the devil can write on. So now, when we believe that there are diversities, it means that we are open to believe that God can operate in. So when you see somebody doing something in the kingdom, you agree that no, this is an act of what? Diversity. And that is going to lead us to the concept of what? Cast the anointing. Can we move on now? Now, these diverse manifestations of the power of God in the lives of others gives us the chance to seek to operate in other dimensions of the spirit, which then bring us back to catch the anointing. The reason why God creates diversities in the kingdom beyond just the human cycle but among us individually is to let you know that he is not limited in operation as how you know him alone, but he can operate in other dimensions and other ways so that you can also seek to what? Operate in them. For example, if I minister in healing by laying hands, then I see a man of God stand there and start to use the prophetic operations, word of knowledge, to diagnose people and minister healing to them, I'll realize that healing is not only by laying hands, but there's an operation of God's power that by word of knowledge people can be healed. There are some people, they can just stand there and then they'll just start to speak. I declare, declarations and deliverances are taking place. But some of us, we have to come, cast, bind, loose. And you know, some of the operations, you see that, no, this one is easy. I want to operate in this one. But because of how you are wired, the Holy Spirit cannot operate. So sometimes, to get your attention to operate in other dimensions, he will reveal the diversity of him in another person. Are you following me? So the diversity is one of the ways that God can help us to look into the concept of outcast anointing, so that you understand that the way he operates with you is not the only way. The methods of God can be different, but the principles is the same. Do you understand? So when we vet a method by which the Spirit is manifesting and it's in line with scriptures and the and theological point of manifestation, we can say that this is the manifestation of God, and then we can accept it and open up and what? And receive it. So the reason why I'm talking about diversity today is to let you know that diversity also help us to identify the various manifestation of God's power, the manifestations of the power of God in the kingdom, so that if I am a prophet and my prophetic operation is by teaching the word of God. How many of you know Bishop Tudor Bismarck? I believe he's a bishop, right? Bishop Tudor Bismarck. Do you know he's a prophetic teacher? The man can be teaching and you can sense the prophetic flow. How many of you know Prophet Achumanase? I want to mention prophets that you know. You know Prophet Achumanase, right? You see how he operates? It's not the same way as Prophet Jericho. So Prophet Jericho can see something, Prophet Achumanase can say, I like this. There are diversities. Even in the same stream of the anointing, there are diversities. And it opens up for us to appreciate the various manifestations of what? The Holy Spirit. Now, last week, I spoke about three ways by which we can catch the anointing on the life of a person, carrying it. But before I continue today, as I've laid the foundation, I want us to go into some small mathematics. Let me take you back to your senior high school as scholars. And I want to use it to explain, follow me very critically, how catching the anointing works. Some of you think that the things we learn in class are not applicable, they are not scriptural. That's why sometimes when I'm teaching, I bring those concepts here to prove to you that what you learn in the classroom can be found in scriptures. And in fact, they are inspired by scriptures. So today, let's look at a topic called vectors. How many of you remember vectors? Vector AB. Vector CD. You remember vectors? Let me see my hands. Yeah. So you did positional vectors. Resultant vectors. Oh, good, good, good. I was a math teacher. So I still have those things. Okay. So what is the definition of a vector? We said that
An oppression can be defined as a vector when it has a magnitude. And when we say a magnitude, we are talking about how big it is in length, in speed, or in force. Do you remember that? Oh, you should have been my math student. You love my class. An oppression, an activity, something that happens can be called a vector when it has a magnitude. And when we call something magnitude mathematically, we mean that how big it is in its length, in its speed, or in its what, force, is a magnitude. So a magnitude is determined by how big something is, by length, by speed, or by what? By force. And at the same time, that operation has what? A direction. So to be an operation, to be called a vector, it means that it has to have what? A magnitude and not a direction. And a direction in mathematics, we are talking about how it points into space. Whether it's pointing to the north, to the south, to the east, or what? To the west. And therefore, we use the compass. So anytime we are calculating a vector, you see that there is always 20 degrees north and then a length. Do you remember those ones? Oh, your math teacher didn't help you. Oh, I can see. You people don't like math. How many? But you are doing. Okay, let me continue. Okay, now let's do a little exercise. What did you get in comments? Would that be a temptation right now? And lead us not into temptation. But also, but you did elective mass, right? Kabela. Let me see the elective mass student in the house. What did you get in elective mass? B3. Then I'm better than you. I had A1. Yeah. So this is what vectors say. So vector is an act of what? Magnitude. Now let me, you see, vector, some of the things we just studied them, but we don't know that they're applicable. Now, do you know driving a car is an act of what? Vectors. Yes, velocity is a product of speed and what? And direction. When you're playing football, you're applying vectors. Ability to what? Apply force and direct the ball is vectors. This is our daily life. GPS that you are using on your phone, Google Map, it operates by what? Vectors. Distance and what? Direction. So you see the vectors that you learn that you have not taken it serious. You see, that's why some people, you are bad drivers. You are very bad drivers. See, those who have poor mathematical background, they drive very recklessly. Hallelujah. So now, if you are want to sit in your car, ask what you had in combat and elective mass for the sake of my prophet. I think we should be doing that else. Hallelujah. Now let's use this vector principle and let's mirror it into the catching anointing. As I said, the reason why I divided this catching anointing to two phases is because I see that catching anointing principle operating as a vector. It has a point of magnitude in it. It has a point of direction. And they have to work together for you to catch an anointing. So how do I mirror this? Bringing the vector principle into catching the anointing, what I spoke about last week as identification, association, and what? Service is the magnitude. The weight of what you do to catch the anointing. And what I'm about to talk about right now is the direction. So there are things that gives a signal, a directorate, that let us know that you have to catch this anointing. So in catching anointing, there are certain things, or certain things we do, or certain things that happen to us, that opens our eyes. And today I'm going to help you to know that you are receiving a direction to apply what? Magnitude. To catch an anointing. So do you see the vectors now? Do you agree with my vector equation now? Okay, so you received the magnitude last week. Let me give you the direction. Hallelujah. What I want to tell you, that you'll find out that why some people go after certain men of God and begin to serve them, identify with them, associate with them, it is because of what I'm about to talk about today. And that's why it's a vector equation. Hallelujah. So what are these ones? Number one, admiration or honor. When you admire an anointing, it is a sign, it's a directorate, it's a direction towards where your magnitude in terms of service, possibly in terms of your association and identification will go. So in the very words of our father Apostle Joseph Minter, he says that an anointing you don't admire, you will never receive. Now, what is admiration? Admiring an anointing means recognizing, respecting, and valuing how God is using someone. When we say you admire an anointing, you recognize that anointing, you respect that anointing, and you value, you put premium on how God is using that person. So what I want to mean is that when you say you admire an anointing, it means you acknowledge God's grace upon someone's life. So in our third reading, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13, listen to what Paul said to the church. Let's start from the verse 12. Let me show you admiration. There was something that the elders of the church of Thessalonians were doing that was an oppression of the anointing upon their life. And Paul was talking to the church, encouraging them that they should do something in regards to what the people are doing. Let's read. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Do you see what? Those what? Look at the things they do. Go back. Recognize who? Those who labor. So there are people who labor in the church. It's the work of the anointing. Those who what? Who are labor among you and are over you. So there are people who what? Are over you. They are what? Coverings. They are overseers. They are shepherds. Those things are act of what? The anointing. So you should do what? Recognize. Then what is on? And those who admonish you. Those who build you. Those who encourage, those who teach you, the people who are responsible for it, you should what? Recognize them. Now move to the next verse. See what he said. Not only recognize, what should you do? And to esteem them very what? Highly in love for their works' sake. So when you admire a man of God or you are admiring an anointing, it means that you recognize, you respect that anointing, and what else do you do? You value it. High esteem. And you value it because of the work God is what? Doing in them. Therefore, admiration or to admire somebody means you acknowledge the grace of God upon their life. The moment you notice that, you begin to recognize a man of God's anointing. You begin to value, you put high esteem. You respect the anointing upon his life. It is a sign, it's a direction. That anointing is open up for you to what? To catch. Now let me do some balance here for you to know. It is biblical to honor and admire men of God. It's never wrong. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17. Listen to what the Bible says. It's very biblical. Let the elders who rule be counted worthy. Do you see it? Of what? Double honor. Counted worthy. So they deserve it. They should be counted of what? Double what? Honor. Especially those who labor in the word and what? And doctrine. So you must respect. It is worthy to respect. Value. Put value. Recognize the grace of God at work in the lives of people in the church. It is biblical. But here is the balance. If we say we admire men of God, we admire, or the focus of the admiration should be on the work God is doing through them, but not treating them and elevating them as perfect, infallible, or divine immortals. The moment you begin to make them, see them, esteem them at the point where they are immortals, invisible. The moment you enter that place, it's no more admiration. That is worship. So when you say you are admiring a man of God, the emphasis is on the works. You admire me because of the way God used me to teach you, build you. The way God used me to minister to you is not because I am perfect. So when you acknowledge a man of God, you also acknowledge the imperfections in him. If you don't do that, you think that my pastor is what? The living word. So that is the difference between worship and then what? Admiration. So when we say you admire somebody, the difference is that the focus is on the works God is doing through the person, not the person in person. Because everybody has what? Some sort of what? Weakness. Nobody is perfect. And sometimes you'll be surprised that people who are mostly anointed, you come around and you see a lot of stuff. But you have to, you see, that, so that's why you keep your eyes on the works, not the person. Are you with me? Are you with me? So you don't treat and elevate them as perfect, infallible, or divine immortals. You place them above human status. So when you say you are worshiping a man of God, it's not like you've come to bow. That makes it worship. It is how you perceive and you see the person that makes you worship the person. So if you see Daddy Joe as a divine immortal, you are worshiping him. At that point, Jesus is not your Lord. Daddy Joe is your Lord and personal savior. You are not born again. Your born again is cancelled. Because you don't, your new Lord and your new God is the man. Are you with me? Are you with me? God. So when we worship God and we what? Honor or admire men that what? He uses. That is the principle. We worship God, but we admire and honor men that what? He uses. Don't be disrespectful to people who carry grace. So you see that you see a man of God, and then you begin to like how God is using the person. Now let's move on. Now this act of admiration points to the kind of expression of God's power that you can also operate in. Thus, it takes admiration of an anointing to make you to either serve it, associate with it, or identify with it to catch it. 95% of the anointing that you will catch in your life will be an act of admiration. You like the man of God. If you didn't like Archbishop Olu, I know Paul likes one particular prophet. He posts him a lot. And he can catch the anointing. I know. Paul does not post pastor. He posts. Hallelujah. So you see why I said that these things I'm talking about today, they can be a direction. So when I want to know the kind of anointing you're hungry for, I look at the people you acknowledge. Then I'll know whether you are serious or you are not serious in your life. Oh yes. It gives a direction. It lets us know that, oh, this person is serious about this. I'll know. So the anointing you are serving, it is possible that you admire that anointing. The anointing you identify with, you listen to, read the books, is because you admire that anointing on the person. You admire it. Now you see, I've been exposed. So now you see how we see some of you, when you are listening to some people, we say, don't. Because the moment your admiration is going there, it is easy to serve it. It's easy to identify. And you see that when these two things come together, sure, there will be a result. You will catch something. And if that source is not from God, you know what you have caught. Are you with me? Do you get it? Yes. So you see that some of us, by the way we operate and by the way we minister, you can easily trace the people we admire in our life. There's no two way for you to know that I admire Apostle Arome. There's no, the moment you see how I minister, how I do my things, you can easily trace it. You can easily trace our brother here. You can trace. And that That's how God does it. So an anointing that you will catch, the first thing is you see admiration. There's, you put value on it. So now if I see the books you read, the messages you listen to, it tells me who you admire. And I said, that will tell how serious you are and the kind of anointing you want to catch. So you have to know how to, you have to look at it. Now, are you following me now? Okay, so now you understand why it's a direction. And then the other three we did is what? The magnitude now. Can we continue? The next one, desire or covetousness. A desire or coveting an anointing is also a way to catch an anointing, and it also gives a sense of direction of the kind of anointing you want to catch. Now, let me help you. It is biblically acceptable to covet spiritual things. Covetousness is wrong. But when it comes to spiritual things, the Bible permits it. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, let's read. It is biblical to covet spiritual things. However, it is done in an excellent way. And I'm going to show you. But earnestly what? Desire. That word over here means covet. The word translated here, the Greek word translated means covet. Covet. A strong-willed desire. It's like an obsession. Earnestly, covet the best gifts. In as much as anointing is an operation manifestation of the power of God, we cannot say it is not a gift. It's a gift from God. So it falls in this category. However, and yet I show you a more excellent way to what? To covet. So when you want to covet an anointing, it is right. It's biblically right, but there's a way to covet it. So if you move to the chapter 13, verse 1, you see the way we covet an anointing. We covet spiritual things on the basis of love. We covet spiritual things on the basis of what? So you see how I started? Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. So love is the primitive root for coveting what? Spiritual things. In other words, if you don't have love, if you are coveting, that is a wrong, you enter into some places. And I said, I've already preached on love one another principle. Do you remember them? Bear with one another, be kind to what? One another, be affectionate towards what? One another. All those love principles, if it is not rooted in you, and it is not the reason to which you are coveting spiritual things, you will covet it on. If there's no love, what is there? The opposite of love is what? Selfishness. Actually, it's not hate, it's selfishness. The more you love, the less self you become. If you want to know a selfish person, know how they love. Yes, every stingy person does not show love. Oh, today, am I releasing some sisters? I said that how much somebody loves shows how selfish or how less self they become. We are all selfish in every dimension. But there is a way to which we begin to work on it as because of what? Love. So the opposite of what? Love is selfish. Self-consumed. Now, have I exposed you all? So don't say love is hate. It's selfish. And if you don't love somebody, will you give that person? The Bible says how God so loved them, and did what? He gave. What do selfish people do? They withhold. The principle of what? I, me, and what? Myself. Yeah. Selfishness is to what? To hold. You hold back. But love means to what? To give. So in the act of giving, you become patient with people. You bear with them. You show affection. Those things are act of giving. That is the selfishness is the opposite of love. So you want to see people who love. Look at how selfish, how less selfish they are. Some people are so selfish that even credits, when they start flash, the way they'll flash you. They can't spend one. See, hey, may you be delivered from the spirit of selfishness. Pastor, I don't like my sermon. Should I change the message? So, we can desire, we can covet spiritual things, spiritual gift. The anointing is part of it, on the foundations of what? Love, and it's permissive. Let me show you. God always is in the business of granting our desires that are rooted in his pleasures, and the pleasure of God is grounded on our love. The book of Psalms chapter 37 verse 4, let's read something there. If you don't know, God is in the business of granting our desires. That's why the things that you desire, which is rooted in love, God will give them to you. Who said God doesn't answer the desires of the believer? It's a lie. If God does not answer it, because go and check your level of selfishness. God, open doors for me to travel so that I'll show them. That door will never open. If you desire to go on vacations and it's rooted in love, God will open the door for you. How many of you want to go to America? Don't lie. Lift up your hand. Maybe I can make a declaration right now for you and your visa will be released. How many of you want to go to America? So Elvis, you want to leave me here? As Paul said, because of the affections of the world, he has left me. Hey! Delight yourself also in the Lord. Delight. That means that may your pleasure, joy, may the things that you seek to entertain yourself, not only entertain, things that will give you acceptance, where your focus and everything is in the Lord. And what will happen? And he shall give you the desires of your heart. It is a lie that God does not grant the desires of men. It's a lie. When you desire and it is rooted in love, I mean biblical love, God will release it. That is how we can covet and desire an anointing. So if I hear and I desire the anointing upon the life of Daddy Joe, and it is rooted in love, because it's for the betterment of people, not because I want to make money. When I give one revelation, 1,000 Ghana cedis, like today, all of you for counseling, I would take, let me count. I would have made money today. Please, guys. Good money. If that is the reason you want to, God should open us to prophesy so that people know that you also did, it will not come. But when it is for the betterment of the people, you can convert the anointing upon the prophet here, it will come. Because God is the business of granting the desires of the believer. Today, I said, I'm telling you things that if you practice them, you will be a dangerous person. There's no anointing that cannot be converted. Every anointing can be converted. But the ground is that it has to be in the excellent way, which is what? On the grounds of love. Which is how less selfish your heart becoming. So if you want God to be granting your heart desires, begin to work on your selfishness. You can't share your time with God and you want God to give your heart desire. So it is right and good to desire spiritual things. It's allowed. Covet the best. If I say what? The best. So if you see raising of the dead is best, convert it. But that will happen to you on the verdict of what? Love. How less selfish you are out, you are becoming. Can we move on? So you see, the Bible said in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 that if a man desires the work of what? A bishop, he desires what? A good thing. Is that there? This is a faithful saying. It's faithful. If a man desires the position of a bishop, can you just imagine a position of a heart? He desires a heart, a good work. So desires are permitted and God grants what? Grants them. I pray for you. Let the desires of your heart. The Bible says, delight in the Lord and he would answer the desires of your heart. I pray whatever you have desired, what your soul is longing for, what you have desired. Desire is the act of the soul. What your soul is longing for, I declare in the name of Jesus, before the end of this year, let God grant the desires of your heart in the name of Jesus. Those of you are desiring a change of job, those of you are desiring that God will open another door for you financially, what kind of desire you are having, I declare that God who is in the business of granting the desires of men. Let God grant that desire for you in the name of Jesus. Any anointing you desire, desire it in the excellent way. Now, let's move. Hence, an oppression of the spirit can be converted from a deep-rooted biblical love and is attainable. And that is what our first reading, which has to do with Elijah and Elisha, revealed. From day one, you find out that Elisha loved the anointing upon the life of what? Elijah. And he desired so much that the first, see, the things that you desire, when somebody asks you, they are the first thing you mention, right? You can we do a okay, Bema, what do you want? Eh? Oh, Laura, please give them. What do you need right now in your life? What do you want? Let's say I'm here. I want to grant you any wish of yours. What will be the first thing you will say? Can be material, can be spiritual. Let me hear. Yes?
Healing.
Pass it to the next person. Yes?
Money.
Good. Next person.
Mercedes Benz.
Ah. Is it your desire? Why is it? Is it your desire? Eh? Francel, what do you desire? If I'm here, I want to grant you. What do you desire?
Money.
You see, the thing that you desire is the first thing you want. When they ask you, what do you want? So when Elijah asked Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 2, let's read verse 9. Look, you see, I want to show desire. He was designing the guy's anointing. For all this while, I want to show what desire is. So it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I may do for you before I am taken away from you. Listen to what he said. Elisha didn't even think twice. Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. The guy has monitored what that was his order he wanted. So for all these years he was serving Elijah, Elisha was just there converting seriously. Verse 10, what Elijah said? He said, you have asked a hard thing. But because of the principle that allows that, you can convert on the good grounds. When you see me go, you'll get it. Even though the double portion was a hard thing, it was possible. Because God is in the business of granting the desires of people. There's nothing too hard for God to do for you, including any anointing. So our first reading that we read of Elijah and Elisha was to establish that anything that you desire which is rooted in love can be guaranteed, including the anointing. So desire is very necessary for the anointing to be released. Are you with me? And it shows what kind of what. Now if I ask you, which man of God's anointing do you desire? It will tell me what kind of understanding you have about the things of God and who you are. Where's the microphone? Let's do another exercise. Today, I'll expose all of you. Come to my right-hand side. Let me know the anointing they are desiring. Let's start from Osofo. You are going this way. Osofo, what anointing, which man of God's anointing do you desire?
Benzi Dawesa.
Wow. Osofo.
Prophet Jericho.
Man of God. Now they want to, now you know. Yes, my sister, please. Yes. Which man of God's anointing do you desire?
Sumisola.
Wow. Let's go. No, you are. I'll spare you. What desire before you go? Which one are you desiring?
Oh, Becky Bonnie.
Wow. It's okay. Let's end it there.
No.
You see, this will tell me the kind of person you are. It gives direction. Because if Elisha has desired the anointing of Saul, the king, we would have suspected him. So you see, the desire gave a direction. And you see the magnitude at which Elisha served Elijah. He gave his all because he was so covetous of something. Some of the men of God you serve with all your life is because there is something you want. Something so strong. So every day you will listen to their song. It is like your playlist. If you don't listen to it, you are not fine. It is, God is just, it's a desire. God has shown it there. Do you know the moment you tap it,
sometimes it goes off. The moment there's a tapping, you don't know, something just leaves you. It's a direction. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So you see that most of the anointings we tap are as a result of we admiring the anointing or we desiring the anointing. And then we begin to see us identifying with anointing, serving that anointing, or associating with that anointing. This is where the magnitude and the direction comes from. In other words, if you want to catch an anointing, you first of all see an act of what? Admiration or a desire. And when those two things are triggered, they begin to give you a magnitude. So the way at which you catch the anointing fast and how much you can be able to catch is dependent on the magnitude, the speed, the length, and the force, which is the way you serve, the way you are there. You don't expect, you see how Bishop Dark said he used to sleep with the messages of what? Kenneth Hagin. You see the grace operating on Daddy Joe's life. You ask him the things he used to do. You tell that he used to put those, they say they call it Walkman, 24/7. He will be listening to. Do you know the amount of books that Daddy Joe has bought? Those days, it's not as easy as we get books now. Sometimes he has to order it from abroad. Messages, he was just chasing them. The reason why this ministry, marriage will prosper, is because Daddy Joe caught an anointing from somewhere. Dr. Miles Morrow. And one of the things that was common in his church was that marriage was one of the common things, and they prosper in marriage. I know that this ministry, marriage, it will be, many marriages will prosper. Yes, it was recorded that over many years, there was no one single divorce in Miles Morrow's church, even though it was a common thing in Bahamas. And Daddy Joe chased this man, get his up. He said he will go to cafe, go and listen, download, buy books, pay. You think he didn't catch the anointing? That's why when you listen to him counseling you, go and read, I want my house to be a home. Read For Better For Best. And you know that this man has caught something heavy. So when you covet an anointing, it is permitted. And by that covetousness, rooted in the love of God, you are able to what? Serve it in the magnitude, in the strength, in speed, either by identifying it, associating, or serving. And you see that it will be released into you as a seed. And when the seed is released, you see that the aspect of it becoming the double portion is when you work on it. I've already spoken about it in the first teachings that I did. Especially observing the spiritual principles of what? Prayer, studying of the word, fasting will cause you to release it. Hallelujah. Finally, there's one unit that is very different on its own, but it's very important for us to know. And I know most of you have been doing this. That is why I want to talk about it. The place of sowing in catching the anointing. This is neither a magnitude nor a direction. It has both of them. It is on its own. Now let me show you something. It is in God's sovereign will that anointing can be caught through sowing a seed to provoke the release of the anointing. I'm going to explain it. By divine sovereign will, an anointing can be caught through sowing of what? A seed to provoke the release of that anointing to come upon you. Genesis chapter 27, verse 2 to 4. The key word underlined here is sovereign. Sovereign will. I'm going to explain it. That's why I said so. Then he said, behold, now I am old. This is Isaac speaking. I do not know the day of my death. Nobody knows. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. Verse 4. And make me out a savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. So Isaac wanted to release a blessing upon his son Esau, and he told him that this release is as an act of sovereign will can be provoked or released by what? Seed. Now
Why do I call it a sovereign will? And follow very well. It is God's sovereign will for such act to happen because it is determined before you were born. It is done and sealed whether both parties involved likes it or not. And I'm going to prove it to you. There are certain anointing that you are going to catch in your life. It is God's sovereign will. It was even done. It was agreed before you were born. It is already done and sealed, whether you like it or not. Anybody there likes it or not, it is done and sealed. Because it was determined in the council of El Elyon, in eternity realm before you were born. There are certain anointings that come by that way. Let me give you a scripture. Genesis chapter 25 verse 22 to 23. The reason why Jacob took this anointing was because it was predetermined before they were born. Yes, and it was Rebecca, who knows? Now, fear Rebecca's. They are secret people. They can keep secrets to whom? Who has ears? Hear what the Spirit says. Rebecca's. In fact, they know who will kill you tomorrow, but they will still not tell you. They are dangerous people. You could lie with a man for many years and search a divine secret the man never knew. As well, they know that you are going to interrupt. That's why God trusts Rebecca's a lot. Now, if you find a Rebecca and God gives your secret to Rebecca, you are safe. Those people, they will safeguard it because what they did to Isaac, they can do it to you too. Hallelujah. But the children struggled together within her. And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. Very spiritual people. Maria Rebecca, hallelujah. Those who are born again, oh. Verse 23. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. This was already predetermined before they were born. So there are certain anointing that will come upon you. That is as the act of God's sovereign will. It doesn't need your permission. I tell you, and I'm going to show you how those ones they operate. There's an expression of God's power that you catch from certain people because God already predetermined it. That, for instance, you, whether you like it or not, it is this man of God you get this thing from. And the man of God, whether he likes it or not, it will come to you. Now, the reason I said it is done and sealed without anybody's consent or parties is in the book of Genesis chapter 48 verse 13 to 14. The story of Manasseh and what? Benjamin. When Israel, the one who was a beneficiary of this sovereign will, was also blessing or releasing an impartation, releasing an empowerment, he also did the same thing on Manasseh and what? Is it Ephraim and, let's read, which of them is it? I think Manasseh and then what? Ephraim, right? Oh, yeah, Manasseh and Ephraim, watch. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel, left, towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near. So him, so because the principle is that the first son is the one to be at what? The right, and the younger one should be at what? The left. The right stand for what? Authority. So an eldership. Now let's look the next verse. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head. Did you see it? Manasseh was on his right hand. At that time, his eyes were dim too. Not that he could see well. But he still, by spiritual insight, crossed the hand. So they brought them like this, and he crossed his hand. Who was the younger? And his left on Manasseh, whose Manasseh said, guiding his hand knowingly. Do you hear what the Bible said? Guiding his hand what? Knowingly. For Manasseh was what? The firstborn. Now let's look at Joseph's reaction. Verse 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who had fed me all my life long toward this day. It's plenty, but if you can go and read, because of time factor. But I found out that Isaac contested that dimension of operation. And he said, I know what I'm doing. For the younger shall be greater. So there are certain impartation, anointing of God that will come upon you because it's God's sovereign will. It is not in his permissive will. It is what? His sovereign will. Whether you serve it, you identify with it. No, that doesn't answer to that. It is already determined, concluded. Hallelujah. When such thing is set in motion, and God wants to release it when it's set in motion. Watch. When it's time for it to be released, you know, it is time sensitive. Such things, they are time sensitive. Just as it was time for Isaac to do so, for Jacob and what? And his brother Esau. It is time sensitive. So when it is about time for it to be released, you will find out that God can instruct you to engage in this principle, which is in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 11. I'm going to explain. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 11. Let's read. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 11. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? Now, there is a spiritual principle where there can be an exchange of spiritual things with material things, as he said over here. So if I have a spiritual thing and you have a material thing, there is a way by divine arrangement it can be exchanged. That is, if I bless you spiritually here, it is right for me to receive from you physical things, material things, such as money. It's principle. But it is spiritual out first. Now, here is the problem. If the material comes first, it doesn't obey this principle. It becomes a different thing. It becomes you buying the anointing. It becomes you trying to what? Pay for the services. But if a man of God blesses you spiritually and out of that you decide to give the person, it is a principle in scripture. Now, how does that operate with the anointing? Because the person is the one who carries the deposit, and God has taken that deposit on the person and give it to you, or that person has to give to you. When it is time, what God does is that he gives you a prophetic indicators and direction to go and sow into the life of the person or the ministry, whether the person knows or doesn't know. When that is done, you have unlocked it. It will come to you. So at any point in your life, you receive an instruction to go and sow a seed in the life of a man of God or a person. Know that it has to do with this act of sovereign will. Whether the person like it or not, it will be unlocked. Do you understand it now? Whether the person likes it or not, it will be unlocked. Because God has created that space. So this is where money or the place of sowing comes in catching the anointing. It is not like you just get up and come and sow seed and the anointing will come to you. No. It doesn't work that way. You know, you can admire a man of God's anointing upon him by giving to him. That does not answer to this principle. This one is when it has already been divinely arranged that this person, by divine sovereign will of God, there is something there that you take. When it is time, you will receive prophetic direction. Personally, you will notice, you will pick it so strong. So yes, a man of God said, and I emptied my heart, my account, and I did what? I sowed. There are times in this ministry's life, you see that our Father will give us a direction that we are going to sow a whole month's offering and tithe and everything in a particular man of God's life. Do you know what we are doing? It's divine instruction, because God wants us to tap something at that point. The ministry we pay tithe to is because God wants us to unlock something on that ministry. Yes, it's all yes, God, I will give tithe. That is how seed sowing can release an anointing. So you can sow seed 10 million Ghana cedis. If it is not because of this principle, it will not come to you. So don't let anybody tell you that, come, give me money, and I ought release an anointing for you. It is a lie. It doesn't work. So you remember what we read in the book of Acts chapter 8, verse 18 last week. When the sorcerer Simon wanted to buy the anointing, Peter said, Lord, your money perish with you. Because it doesn't obey that rule. There was no any divine arrangement that you can unlock what is upon me as a sovereign will of God for it to come to you. So we sow seeds in the life of men of God to unlock the anointing, because they are the depositors. They carry what God wants us to have, and it has already been settled. It is time for each word to come. So we just trigger it by sowing seed. And that is an act of prophetic direction. Sometimes those seas are huge. Those seas are huge. And nobody will tell you, yourself, you will know when it is time. Because when you are hungry for an anointing and it is time, you see, God will tell that. Go. So you see that there are some men of God that you, God will strategically lead you to sow seed into their lives. Some of them, they will know. Some of them do not even know. But you see the anointing, what? See, the things of the spirit are so dangerous that somebody can tap something. Just as Jesus was walking in a crowd and somebody was able to withdraw an anointing from him, we can do it anywhere because it is allowed. And seed sowing, that is how it answers to it. But that one has to be by the sovereign directions of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, this is how we catch an anointing. Can I pray for you? And this is my prayer for you. That your head will never be dry. Your head will never be dry. You see, we need an anointing because there are diverse kinds of challenges we are going to face. Some of you, as you are growing right now, you must start praying for the anointing upon the head of our president, John Dramani Mahama. If you desire to become a president of Ghana, yes, you should covet it. There are certain people, you see what God is doing with them. How many of you know of Tobinko? You have to start praying. Ask God, God, what kind of anointing do you give these people that they are able to make that kind of money? There is a man of God recently, I have been praying to God and I've been listening and reading his book, Bishop Oyedepo. I said, God, how he did it? Show me. I want you to lift up your voice and pray. It is very dangerous to have your hair dry. The book of Ecclesiastes, he said that, let your garment be white and make sure that your head never lacks oil. This is a season to catch an anointing. At every season of your life, there is an anointing you have to catch. At every season of your life, there's an anointing you have to catch. There's an anointing you have to catch at every season of your life. Now, you begin to pray that, Lord, Lord, then help me. What are you, what anointing are you desiring? Oh, Vala Maku Vesaya. Oh, Revele Mekumpe. The Bible said God is still in the business of granting the desires of men. I want you to start praying. That anointing you have been desiring, it is time, it is coming, it is coming. I said that anointing you have been desiring, it is time, it is coming. Sometimes you see the anointing of some people. I saw the anointing on grandpa and grandma, that is Joe's spirit. I said, God, this anointing, I need it for my marriage life. Look at how years of marriage, they have been able to raise all their children in the way of the Lord. None of their children is wayward. They are all doing well, faithfully serving God. And I said, Lord, this anointing, you don't know the anointings I'm desiring. I desire certain dimensions of anointing for my marriage. And when I saw this, I said, Lord, whatever is upon this man and this woman, Lord, by desire, by admiration, Lord, help me. Help me to cast that anointing. That me to my children who grow up, all of them, none of them will perish. You don't know the kind of difficulties we are coming to face in our generation. Look at how children are becoming disobedient. Look at how the devil is taking over young people. But there are people whose children are living for the Lord. Are living for the Lord. That one is an anointing. That is the act of an anointing. You have to start looking for those kind of things. There are people who are working in higher places in government positions, and still their garment is white. They stand for the Lord. They are holding to moral values. That is the power of God working in them. You have to begin to pray. Why is it that some people exams they do well? Some of us are struggling. Hey, they have to start praying for that anointing. Some people, every door that they knock at, the door opens. When they knock, the door opens. Some of us, we have to knock and knock. We have to start saying, Lord, I have to catch this anointing. At every season of your life, there's an anointing you have to catch. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Oh Lord, grant me that anointing. Ma brando moko salaya. Hey, varana makabasa takaya. Sondele kete kete babasata. Nandoria sindi vakapaya. So Elisha said, please grant me the double portion of your spirit. Oh, la kasane malababasaya. Oh, velege de bebe bebe bosaya. That anointing is coming. Any anointing you accept, any anointing you are identifying with, any anointing you associate with, let me tell you, the anointing upon this household, you have a share. This is an apostolic anointing. See, there is a mandate, there is an empowerment upon this household. Even if you sow into this household, those of you who have sown into the crusade, every anointing backing the crusade, backing the man of God, it is time for you. Mandila Shabakapa. Ora Sendelevedea. Yes. 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 All that I have said from the beginning of the year to now, it ends on today's message I've sent to you. You have to catch an anointing. He said, ask of me. He was speaking to the anointed. He said, ask of me, and I shall give you the heathen as your inheritance, and the outermost part of the world as your possession. We need to inherit the world. People must be our inheritance because we are anointed. You see, you have to catch an anointing to rule. Said, David, have I found with my holy oil have I anointed him. We must catch an anointing to rule over certain territories. Some of you will begin to rule over commerce. You will rule over the political climate. You will rule over the financial climate. I said that is anointing because God says you ask. This year is the year that God has declared that the inheritance of the begotten is our year of inheritance. Oh, Mandela Messiah. And I want you to catch an anointing for your inheritance. I tell you, God is already sharing them. I see God positioning people, sharing the inheritance among us. And it will take the anointing to take hold of it. So he said to the anointed, ask of me. You have to catch an anointing. You have to catch an anointing. You have to catch an anointing. I said, there's an inheritance God has given you. There is a place, a territory God has given you. He said, I will give you the people as your inheritance. Some of you, God has given you Ghana as your inheritance. But you have to catch that anointing. Catch that anointing to have that inheritance in your possession. Oh, Malava Sika Taba Baba Saya. Adulinia Sonde. Don't end this year without an anointing, else you'll be denied your inheritance. The devil is busy looking for ways to deny people their inheritance. But we will catch the anointing that will secure us our inheritance. You will prosper. No witch or witchcraft shall dispossess you. No power shall dispossess you. Because of the anointing. Because of the anointing, no power, no power. No power. No power. Thank you, Father.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Just breathe.